Every individual must learn what it means to be human, and this understanding begins developing in early childhood. What matters most for our youngest children is how we are with them, how we show them what kindness, empathy, and respect look like. They are following their leaders. Welcome to the Leading for Children podcast. We're excited you're here with us today as we explore what it really means to put humanity first in communities, to engage in a movement about prioritizing connection as the means to strengthening communities. I'm Judy Jablon, founder and strategic advisor at Leading for Children. Joining me in this conversation today are Nicole and Shannon, and I'll invite each of them to introduce themselves. Nicole?
Hi, Judy. Hi, Shannon. Hi, everyone listening in. My name is Nicole Parks, and I am the Executive Director of Leading for Children, and a mom, and an aunt, and a wife, and a nanny to five, and I'm excited to be here. Shannon, I'd like to invite you to introduce yourself to our audience.
Thank you, Nicole and Judy. I am happy to be here. My name is Shannon Bracamonte. I work for UNM Early Childhood Services Center based out of New Mexico. I am one of the program operations directors with our program that supports our team of consultants who provide coaching and consultation supports to statewide early care and education programs that participate in pre-K, our verification efforts, everything within early childhood field in New Mexico. So I'm happy to be here today.
Welcome. So today we're continuing our collaborative national exploration of what it means to put humanity first. Our humanity first model is an approach to creating equitable, thriving communities for children by prioritizing the overall well-being and relationships of us, the adults who care for them all day, every day. So we've been asked why humanity, you know, why humanity first? We believe that communities are the centerpiece of how we function with one another, that none of us can function as individuals. We all need to be a part of a community to be strong. And so today we've invited our beloved friend and colleague, Shannon Bracamonte. Thank you, Shannon, for joining us. You are such an incredible partner and friend. Nicole and I had the honor of first meeting Shannon at a national conference last year. And Shannon tells me that, you know, I had her at hello. And while we joke about it, she even had socks made for me. The fact is, you do have connections at hello. You know when someone opens themselves to you. You know when there's a wall between two of you. So let's play around with why, as three women in our society with myriad of roles, why do each of us believe that we need to put humanity first? What does that mean to each of us? And I hope that as you're listening to this podcast, you too are wondering. So when someone's ready to lead us off, please speak your heart.
I can get us started, Judy. To me, it's about honoring the golden rule of treating others the way you want to be treated. And another piece of that is really not forgetting where you came from and what you're wanting to carry forward in your own walk in life. And so it goes to really being how you want to connect and how you want to build those relationships, you know, being authentic, being humble in your approaches, and being kind. I think it's like the trifecta for me, in a sense, to really have those three things, how I want to see humanity, how I want to show up for myself, really honoring humanity. And in that aspect, you are having that impact and you are making those ripples of how you connect with others. And really how you do it in your everyday interactions. And so it's bigger than, you know, the field of early childhood. We want to model for our adults who are working with young children, but we also want to be our best selves, show up as our best selves in everything that we do and how we show up in the world and how we want others to show up as well.
Thank you for that, Shannon and Judy. Thank you for the invitation. Like you, Shannon, I feel that so much of it is tied to who you are in your own identity. And I know for me, growing up in a segregated community, growing up in a community of poverty, and I had the luxury of being an observer. So I often sat back and just watched the adults, specifically watched the way that they treated each other. And I can remember clearly sitting in a library in probably about seventh grade and reading this book about the life of George Washington Carver. And in the book, there's a quote attributed to him that basically says that you should be able to treat the king and the pauper the same. And I remember going, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. And so I just started on this quest, believing that we have to see each other before we can do anything else. And so I think the importance of humanity first is recognizing that at the end of the day, we are all human, period. And if we don't start every interaction, every initiative, everything that we do with this idea of the person or the people in front of me or with me are human, then ultimately we are going to, in my opinion, fail at being a society that children deserve. And Judy, I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you. There's so much I want to respond to as you both spoke. I think that I probably learned about kindness and respect and humility as a person growing up. I think that I came to think about it at a whole other level of my fabric of my being the longer I was in the field of early childhood. I remember the first time I heard an educator who I deeply respected say, relationships come first. And that is what we say, but it is not how we live the everyday in the early childhood sector. And so I feel that as an older adult, I came to understand that people are gold and that if you aren't in alignment, and that doesn't mean an agreement, just that I own and acknowledge that Nicole is a human being and she owns and acknowledges that I am. And that doesn't mean we have to love each other. And it doesn't mean we have to agree with each other. And yet I feel the sense of urgency that so many people in the field feel, that urgency obstructs intentionality. So yeah. That's, I think, how I came to believe that humanity has to come first. So we indicated at the outset, we met at a national conference, and what Nicole and I were so struck by is that Shannon talked about her community with deep respect. And it was so clear, Shannon, that you led with relationship. So Nicole and I were both taken with, like, it feels magical that we're in such alignment, given how many places there is disalignment in the field of early learning and in the landscape that families have to navigate every day. And then we started to talk about what's possible. And in our first conversation and in your introduction today, you used the word ripples. What you talked about when we first met you is how hard your team works. There was no negativity. There was no pessimism. There was, they are working at and beyond capacity, but their cups are running dry, and therefore so is their confidence. And you said, please don't come and fix them. They don't need to be fixed. They don't need another thing to learn how to do and have fidelity measured. They need space to own their competence, to find their self-empowerment, to feel seen and heard by you and Sarah, Shannon, their leaders, and by each other and by the communities that they serve. And when you said that, again, Nicole and I said, this is like synergy. So we've had about 6 months together and the synergy has continued. I think that what would be valuable for our listeners, our community to hear is what was it like for you to have a first experience of the Humanity First model and what really resonated for you and what prompted you to say, we'd like to bring this to our community?
No, definitely. I describe it being magical. I say I'm a very intuitive person and I go off of vibes. And so in meeting the LFC partners, it was right away, I was like, oh, they feel like the real deal. I need to hear more. I need to learn more. And knowing what they had been connected with gauged my interests and intrigued me. So in attending the first session with another colleague, we both were, you know, attending with that wonder, like, I wonder what I'm going to learn. Directly entering that session, I knew it was something different. The vibe, the warmth, the welcoming, like set the tone within the session. You know, in a large conference, a lot of sessions, it's like, let me go in and see what I'm going to learn. But right away, as you entered, it was a welcoming environment. The way they kind of set the tone to really create a sense of belonging. I think that's what got me and pulled me in more to really want to hear and learn more about Humanity First and the mutual learning method. And learning more about it, you know, in awe just of how aligned it was with my own thinking. I was like, how did I not think of this? No, but really aligned with what I was thinking and kind of the walk I do and the talk I have. And so right away, I felt this has to be something we take back to New Mexico. This has to be, and again, not something that it's another thing. You know, in our field, there's always certifications, other things we tie to our work, which are very important for the work we do. But what I was in search for, and so was my colleague, Sarah, was how do we support our staff? Like, who's taking care of the caregiver? Who's taking care of the coach so that they can continue to fill the cups of others and still have their cup full? You know, we were in the field consistently since 2020, and that took a toll on our team. And we knew our team is diverse and dynamic, but how do we fill their cup? How do we reaffirm who they are and build that confidence? And so that they can continue to build that in others. And really having the impact of mutual learning, just it kind of married kind of the, what our scope was needing at that time for our team. So I feel like what really resonated was the authenticity. I think the authentic approach, knowing it's not something else, it's more of the conversations we're learning with and from others. It's that perspective taking process is what resonated with me because we're building it as the community. So it's something different depending on who is in the room, how it's going to go or what it's going to build into and what people are going to leave with. And I think that impact and when I talk about that ripple, that's what happens, you know, through that perspective taking process. You don't have to agree with it, but now I'm mulling over that thought and now I'm changing maybe the way I think about things. So it creates that sense of transformation in some and transition in others. So I think that's really what resonated with me, that I was like, okay, other people need to hear about this. And I'm going to do everything I can to convince my leaders that this is something we need and that would align with what we want for our team to move forward with.
Well, we'll pursue more. I want to make space, Nicole. I know both of us were smiling inside. I feel like I can say that with you, not for you. So would you like to respond or ask Shannon any kind of probing questions or acknowledge what you experienced as well? Mm-hmm.
Well, first, thank you, Shannon. Yes, Judy, you are correct. My heart was smiling so big, Shannon, as I listened to you talk and also just remember that space, that collective space that we co-created together. And I think some of the words that you used for me really resonated, specifically around even yourself, the talk that I talk and the walk that I walk. And this idea connecting to Judy, what you said about we can be in alignment and not being in agreement. Shannon, so much of what you described was this idea of respect. And so, yeah, I think that's what I'm really holding on to. And we know this in our bones, really being able to understand this is not about something we do to people. This is really about caring for the souls and the humanity of these amazing adults who are caring for young children and educating them in some of the most challenging times when we think about 2020. So I really appreciate your heart and Sarah's hearts as the leaders of this amazing team of humans that we've gotten to know. And so thank you for sharing, and right back at you as far as the authenticity and the warmth, just being able to feel that in it being time and time again, right? So seeing you in different environments and at different times, and just knowing that that's authentically who you are and who Sarah is as well.
Before we dig deeper into specifically what's unfolding in New Mexico and Shannon, your perspective on it, let's sort of talk for a minute about as three humans, you know, three women, three family members, three professionals. This idea that we have now talked about very gently. The very first thing you said about humanity, Shannon, is it's about treating others and the golden rule. And Nicole, you opened with, we have to see each other before anything else. And so we use the word ripples a lot. It's not really appropriate to talk about snowballing, particularly when some of the people you're with are from a desert. But we know that dominoes are real, like all those things where one thing touches another thing, touches another thing. That is real. And so I think one of us either said or thought that if someone smiles at me, like, unless it's clearly inauthentic, I instantly relax on my inside. Well, if I instantly relax on my inside, I just got a quarter of an ounce of energy to do something nice for someone else. And by the end, those little give and takes end up being much more about filling up. And that's what we fail to think about too often in the context of supporting our youngest children. The more tired I am, the more my body is holding that fatigue. That other smaller human being feels my fatigue, my tight, my less than. And whether I'm a mom, a dad, a grandma, you know, that person who answers the phone at a center, the person who works all day, every day with children, you know, regardless of who I am, I only get a certain amount of energy every day. And if the other adults I deal with keep draining my energy, how am I supposed to show up effective? And I don't know, Nicole, Shannon, we all want to get up on the top of the buildings and scream. You know, energy matters.
No, I think energy does matter. And, you know, when you want to show up as your best self, you know, with the give and take of the day, you know, things are going to pull you away. But what strategies do you have in place to pull yourself back? Finding those moments, even if it's, you know, a brief 10 seconds just to like breathe and count to 10 to realign where you're at and what am I doing right now? How do I want to show up? How do I want to engage? I think that's something in our work that we try to model with everyone, even our family members. You know, I think it's something that we learn within our careers, but everything always blurs into personal and family lives, professional career. And how do you use those strategies? Because it's about really your interactions and how you want to come across and how you want to interact. And we all know we're going to get tired and we might have those moments where we snap, but how do you come back from that? How do you recognize that and build a strategy? Say, you know what? I don't want to lose it again. Let me go listen to music for 5 minutes so I can, you know, regain my composure and move forward. But finding those moments, you know how to put yourself in check or how to bring yourself back in alignment.
Before I pass it to Nicole, I want to insert something that is sort of most important here, is that you never master these strategies. Like, it isn't that, okay, now I feel confident, now I feel seen, I don't need it anymore, I'm done now. You know, like, no matter how great a wife or husband or mother or daughter you are, you're going to have, as you said, ups and downs. And we need to be refortified constantly. That's what frustrates me so much when you describe your agency that is so big and how much they need this. And then we look at this country and I just think, oh, could we just invite everybody to take a breath? Nicole.
Thanks, Judy. And thank you, Shannon. Thinking about the ripples in when I think about why this is so important, one, because our children are watching and they are learning. And they are learning so much more by what they see us do than by what we can ever say to them. And I just think that as a mom and a grandmother and an educator and someone who just really care about the children of this world, not just my community, that I'm always holding on to that. Children are watching and they are observing and they feel our energy. And I was thinking about a recent experience that I had. So there is a hotel here in Arkansas that Judy and I both have spent a lot of time at because Judy did a lot of work and still does work with us here in Arkansas now in different ways. And there was and is this young woman who is responsible for keeping up the premises. And she doesn't speak a lot of English. She understands it more than she speaks it. And I had not seen her probably since 2009. And recently, the air was out at our home. And so we had gone to a hotel just because it's Arkansas and hot. And she came around the corner and I was exhausted. I was irritable. I was annoyed by everything and everybody in that moment. And she came around the corner and I saw her face. And when our eyes locked, both of our energy shifted. And, you know, we embraced and just kind of kept looking at each other like, wow, we're seeing each other again. And as I walked off, you know, Gracie, who is my 13-year-old, she said, Mama, is that your friend? And I said, well, not necessarily a friend. I said, she is somebody who I'm connected to. And it just gave me a boost to see her and be in that space. And what I realized was by Gracie observing that, she moved from being annoyed about not having the air and having to relocate as only a 13-year-old can. And her mood shifted as well. And I thought about that later at dinner and went, connections matter. I said all of that to say that our humanity requires connections. We feed our humanity when we have healthy connections. And that is so important for our world right now. Our children need to see a world where we are more deeply connected in ways that are helpful and not harmful.
I agree. I think when I was saying it kind of blurs those lines of personal professional. Yeah. I mean, it's the connection. It's not just about knowing this for your career or knowing this to engage in different practices within your profession, but again, how do you want to be in this world? And how do you want to inspire or impact others through your modeling and how you interact with them? You can interact with kindness. You can interact with respect. And we can have perspective taking and agree to disagree and still have a connection based on this conversation. And I think that's so important. It's really the value of connection and really taking the time to know how it shifts you sometimes positive, sometimes negative, but recognizing that so you know how you want to control yourself moving forward or how you want to show up moving forward.
We are really curious to have our community hear the varied responses of your team from the experience and what's motivating you to sustain engagement. But start, please, with your team's response.
Yeah, I think initially our team thought this might be another thing that we have to do. And through our conversations, what's really important with myself and my colleague is really telling our team the why. What is the why behind the ask? This is what we're asking you to engage in, to participate in, but we're going to tell you the why in every aspect of it so that we can have not so much the buy-in, but we have that mutual conversation so that we can have mutual understanding of this is our goal and this is what we want to move forward with. So I think through that conversation, it shifted because they're like, wait, this isn't the same thing like another certification or another training or a PD opportunity. This is something different that we're going to engage in. And it's a mutual learning experience versus something else. So I think, you know, initially their ears were perked up like, huh, here's another thing. But as we had that conversation, it deepened into more interest and intrigue of what is this going to entail? How is this going to go? Because they're not typically involved in these types of processes. And so I think it really shifted us to create that safety and that space for them to have reflective discussions and to share with each other. And through the process, I think for many, it confirmed who they are or things they knew. And some, it was kind of, I've never had these conversations with anyone. This is a first experience. So I think it kind of ran the continuum within our team, which what we always talk about is kind of cross-pollination within our statewide team of how to share those skills, strategies, experiences, so that we can all benefit from it and we can learn from it. So it really brought in that learning with and from our team and learning more about them that we probably wouldn't have known without this experience. So moving forward, how it's been sustained in our work is it's become kind of commonality for them that they really talk about, I'm using this with my family. I'm talking with my mom now of how we need to talk like this and have these commitments with our relationship and how we want to show up. And also in our consultation practice, really being the models and supporters for our educators and directors working with young children and really, you know, helping them breathe life into their classroom and into themselves and reaffirm who they are as leaders in the classroom and leaders in their community and to really help them see themselves that they do matter in what they do and they do have a voice. And so they have that ownership. That's one thing that's really important to us is really building that individual and making them feel that you have this power, you are a leader and you can do things. You can achieve, you know, an AA or your education, or you can connect with all your families in the community by the end of this month because you're working on it. So really finding that to kind of infuse that in our practices and our strategies as well.
As you spoke, my mind was weaving. You talked so much today about modeling and ripples. I've been listening to you and I just keep hearing the word leader, leader, because the stance you have as an agent of humanity first, as someone who believes so passionately in humanity, you also demonstrate that humanity in your leadership. Your care and concern for your team, the insights that you offer, the time and patience both you and Sarah demonstrate is such a model of effectiveness and of effective leadership for your team. And that made a lot of our work so joyful. So you've talked with us about being the leader and the decision maker. One of the differences between our Humanity First model, mutual learning, and other experiences is that you were not bringing this in for them. You were bringing this in for us. Part of the why this project has been so great is because it's not us and them, but we together. So that being said, you were a doer in this. You also were a group member. What was it like for you to be in these conversations with your colleagues. Maybe you can think about the first one versus the last one, but we're really curious to hear.
Yeah, I think the first one, again, was that curiosity and that wonder of what is this? What is this method? How is this book study going to go? I think, you know, the nervousness and not wanting to speak out of turn, I think learning the commitments and how the mutual learning method is through that process. So I think the first one, people are still trying to figure out how does this work? But by the end, or by the middle, I would say, probably by the second or third, I think the comfortability, knowing that they had a safe space to speak and that they were with their colleagues, the consistent grouping, I think, helped as well so that you can build that safety, that sense of security within the space, and then allow them to really follow the model and follow the process and really own the method to where by the end, they were really wanting to share more. And many people who were not quick to speak up, which was fine. Not everyone has to speak at that time, but seeing how it blossomed over time with different individuals was something that me and my colleagues spoke about, seeing people coming out of their shell, feeling comfortable, sharing their perspectives, and people honoring their perspectives and respecting it, and really changing the way they see the dynamics of interactions and groupings, and having that comfortability to speak out, really modeling those best practices in that where, no, you have a voice and you have time to speak and we all will honor what you're saying, really changed a lot of things for our staff by the end of the book study.
And just quickly, if you look back on your personal experience and your own comfortability, what was it like for you as co-leader of the organization to be a group member?
It was great to be a group member. It really helped me find my place in the group. It really was intentional about not owning the group and leading the group to speak. I was really conscious of that because that wasn't my place to kind of, come on, everyone, speak up. But that I was just a member of the group and, you know, a member of the perspective taking process. And so knowing the rhythm of how my engagement was, I really monitored that. But for me, it really taught me a lot because I was able to see others' voices raised. And a lot of times in the meetings I have or interactions, it's one voice just because of the type of interaction or the context of a meeting. So it was nice to be a member and to be a participant at that point and really take in the readings, really take in the perspectives that are being shared and seeing how I could kind of, you know, marinate on those ideas and think about things differently as well. So I enjoyed it. Anything I engage in, I make it a learning experience, but I think that more was important for us to be with our team and to be a member and not leading this. It was a different environment for us, which was great.
And I think that for Nicole and myself, it's that mutuality that we feel the space of early learning so desperately needs, that it can be we.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, we are moving toward time and then some. So what Julia, our producer, asked us to talk about as our closing question is, if each of us could stand up on the outside of the earth and hold up a blimp or neon sign that everybody in the world could see, what would we want to have on the sign about our desired impact of the Humanity First model?
I can go. I think I would want that sign to say, seeing the humanity of each other is the first step in any type of work towards equity or moving together as a community. It has to start there.
That's why you're the executive director, Nicole. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.
Shannon.
I think for me, it's the power of self-awareness. I think for a lot of this, it starts with you as an individual and knowing who you are, knowing how you want to show up. We talk a lot about showing up, but just knowing who you are and what you bring and tapping into that self-awareness and always going back to that to really think about, who am I? What do I want to do? How do I want to show up?
That's why you just got your doctorate. That was magnificent. Mine was quite simple. I said I would want to have the sign read, please demonstrate respect to everyone.
That's quite powerful.
Thank you. At Leading for Children, our approach to building strong communities for us and for our children, as Shannon said, starts with each one of us. Thank you, Nicole and Shannon, for an incredibly wonderful conversation. Thanks to our community for joining us for today's conversation about the impact of the Humanity First model in communities. We invite you to check out our website at www.leadingforchildren.org. There you'll find our books, blogs, and other episodes of the Leading for Children podcast, and you can subscribe to our monthly newsletter. Look us up on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn for regular updates and ways to stay connected. See you next time.